Boom, what is up? Welcome back to another episode of the FPL Draft Duo podcast with myself, Nolesy. It is just me this week, but there is an important announcement coming later in the podcast regarding Jaxie's whereabouts, so stay tuned for that. It feels like it was ages ago since we did a podcast or even watched a game of football. So this podcast is extremely important because since we last done a podcast, there has been double game weeks announced. So today's podcast, we are going to go through all of the double game weeks, the best players to target and some players to avoid, as well as the best teams to target and avoid for the same reasons. So I think the first thing we need to do before we go into the listener questions, as always, is to look at them double game week teams and to assess where particular teams stand. So I think the best place to start is to look at all the teams that don't double from now until the end of the season. There are seven teams that have played 29 fixtures: Villa, Brentford, Burnley, Fulham, Luton, Forest and West Ham. So these teams have played 29 games, and for the most part they've played one more game than the majority of teams. But for two teams, they have played two more games, which in 9 game weeks from now until the end of the season is a massive difference. It's 180 minutes of football. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the teams that double in 34, 35, 36, 37 and rank them in terms of how good that team is and the teams that they play. First thing we need to remind ourselves of is all the double game weeks that have come this season so far. A lot of them have been underwhelming and we've planned and prepared too much, I would say, for them, especially for the rewards we got. So I think sticking with the better teams and looking at the fixtures and not getting overly excited with particular fixtures is the way to go here. So there are seven teams that double in 34, and I'm going to rank them from bottom to top. Sheffield, they play Burnley United, just a very poor team. I wouldn't be getting any players. Bournemouth have let us down so much this year. They play Wolves and Villa, two decent sides. Bournemouth are an okay side themselves. Again, I wouldn't be loading up on their players. Fifth place, Wolves. They play Arsenal and Bournemouth. Arsenal, obviously, a very tough fixture. So this is one I'm talking about where it's like, oh, they have a double, but they play Arsenal, which is probably going to be a clean sheet for Arsenal because they've won the best defences in the league. Moving up the list, Everton play Forest and Liverpool. I think I've put them up here because they also have some good fixtures from now until the end of the season. Palace play West Ham and Newcastle. Both of them are at home, so that's why they're kind of higher. And then Arsenal, followed by Liverpool. Both very good teams. They play, so Arsenal play Wolves and Chelsea. Both can score in them games. And then Liverpool play Fulham and Everton. So again, you expect them to beat both of those teams. So you have to kind of load up on the best teams. So seven teams that double in 34. I wouldn't go targeting the likes of Bournemouth just because they double in 34, because so many teams double. Yes, we targeted them earlier on in the season, but that's because they were one of the only teams doubling. I'm going to move on to 37, just so that we have a real lay of the land before we go into listener questions, because I think a lot of the listener questions nearly answer themselves when we know the layout from now until 39. Bottom of the list, I have United. They double and they play Arsenal and Newcastle. Both of them are at home, but we don't know what we're going to get with United. So I wouldn't be going too heavy on them. Brighton play Newcastle and Chelsea. So again, Chelsea and Newcastle both can be susceptible to conceding goals. Brighton again, not a massive team to target because, well, it's only Pascal Gross really. Spurs are third because they play Burnley and City. So I think you'd kind of be loading up on that Burnley fixture. Both of them are at home as well. So you're hoping Spurs could score against City as well. Second are City, because they play Fulham and Spurs. Again, two fixtures you're going to target. And then top are Chelsea. They play Forest and Brighton. Unfortunately, both of those are away games. But we're going to see a common trend. Chelsea are a hot topic on today's podcast. So if we kind of break that down and look at the top two or three teams in 34 and 37 and kind of, I wouldn't say ignore the lower teams, but don't overhype them. Liverpool, Arsenal, Palace. They're the top three for game week 34, as well as possibly Everton in the long term. 37, we're looking at Chelsea, City, Spurs, all good teams in their own right as well. And then the illustrious, depending what happens, it could be 35 or could be 36. Spurs and Chelsea, they have two double game weeks. So they have played 27 fixtures. They have two less fixtures than all those non-double game week teams, which is a massive boost, as I said. So if I had to rank them, Spurs are playing, they could be playing Arsenal or Liverpool. And then in the second game, it's Spurs versus Chelsea. So Chelsea's first game could be Villa or West Ham, obviously a lot easier than Arsenal and Liverpool. And then the second game is Spurs and Chelsea. So Chelsea are on top for that. And if we dissect that, one of the best resources to look at is FPL Vimosa. And he has, or they have, whoever it is, has a chart done where they intersect, the circles intersect. And in that intersecting circle, 35/36 and 37, it's Chelsea and Spurs. So they're the only team that do or have two double game weeks. And it gives you a better and more visual understanding of who's playing. But I think ranking them is important, because just looking at double game weeks can lead you down the wrong path. So first and foremost, teams that we want to target: Chelsea, Spurs, City, Liverpool, Palace, and possibly Arsenal. We'll have a look at them in the question section, which we'll get on to. Just before we get on to the question sections, I've just remembered that we are running a competition on our social media. Get on Twitter or get on Instagram. All you have to do is like and share, and you are in with the chance of winning a vintage jersey from a shop in Perth. So we have teamed up with a shop called First Street. They have an insane selection of vintage jerseys, so make sure you get on. The winner has been chosen this weekend, so you have a couple of days to get in on it. So first two questions regard Palmer. Is Palmer injured? And he should be okay. So the reports are coming out that he will be perfectly fine for Burnley. So I would not be worried about Palmer. And the next question, again, Palmer, Odegaard or Palmer? I think Palmer has to win this. On penalties, Chelsea have, they have an extra fixture on Arsenal. But yeah, Palmer's having the season of his life. Another question, I'm taking three questions very quickly in a row. Palmer or Foden? And this one's a bit tighter, but again, Palmer on penalties, have to go for him. So you will hear Palmer and Chelsea a good bit in this podcast, but Palmer trumps for me Foden, Odegaard, and he should be back and fit. And he has, he's played 27, he has, 12 games left, if everyone else has 9, or 11, excuse me. Nice. So, next one is, pick the top two of these midfielders. Adingra, Manu, Doucouré, Trossard, and Antony. Straight away, I take Manu out of here just because he's a defensive midfielder. So you're left with Trossard, Doucouré, Antony, and Adingra. Adingra, again, rotation risk. Brighton don't have the most amazing set of fixtures. They're kind of going under the radar. I would probably be, and get Antony out of there. Good luck. I know he scored a goal, but I would not be getting overhyped with him. Doucouré, we'll talk about him in the waiver section. I would be picking Doucouré, and although not the best option, Trossard as well. Jesus is back, has came on the last two games. Martinelli's picked up an injury. Trossard will get his minutes here and there. Even though I wouldn't want Trossard or Adingra too much, I would pick them too. I'd pick Doucouré and Trossard. Just because Trossard's playing for a better team, even if he only gets half an hour, 40 minutes, he has a very good chance to score. And if Martinelli's injury is more serious than we think, which I don't think it is, could get the start. Next question is Gallagher or Johnson? And fairly simple, I'd be going with Gallagher there. Nail down, Chelsea asset, more fixtures, and Richarlison and all the boys are back for Spurs. So easy pick for Gallagher, although he might not seem as exciting. Next one is a trade. KDB and Isaac for Pereira and Muniz. I don't know what's happening here. I don't know if I'm getting this right. Obviously KDB and Isaac for Pereira and Muniz. I know Manise is on a very, very good run, but he doesn't trump KDB. On KDB, and I suppose this segues nicely into a couple of injuries or injury concerns, a good few players didn't go on international duty or didn't take part fully, came home early, so on and so forth. So KDB is one of them. Saka was flagged. Gabriel didn't go to Brazil. Walker came home early. Who else do I have here? Awoni, slight injury concern. Olise, we have loads of injury concerns. But a lot of the big players didn't go on international duty. And the Stick to Football podcast were just talking about it last week, about not going on international duty. And they made fantastic points regarding the run-in. And a lot of those big players are playing for teams that are in the running. So, like, I think Mo Salah didn't go. A lot of other players didn't actually go on international duty. And it makes sense. They probably made a deal with the club so that they don't injure themselves in unnecessary March internationals, especially when they're going for a title. So, the likes of Saka, the likes of KDB, Walker even, I know he had some tightness, I wouldn't be too concerned. I think they were rested and I think they just made a deal. Now, if we're looking at injuries in more detail and players that could be on the way back, one of the questions is Jota a pickup or worth a pickup? And Jota is expected to be back game week like 31, 32. It's on Fantasy Football as the 7th of April, so that would be 31. I don't think he starts 31, but I definitely think if you have space, Jota's a nice pickup. Does he get straight back on the team? I don't know. Nunez is flagged as well. So I think Jota is a bit of a no-brainer, but that all depends on your team. I know I say it all the time, but if you're playing with one striker, if you have only one starting striker, and you have to play five midfielders every day, then Jota mightn't be the best player for your team. I'd maybe be looking to upgrade or trade for a striker first and foremost, because I know what it's like. I'm under pressure in terms of having to play a striker, and yeah, it's not good. I rely heavily on my midfielders to play. So Jota. Olise is another question. Olise, again, is on the comeback train. Another 2 weeks, apparently. I'd be concerned with both of them, that they've just come back from injuries. More so Olise I'd be concerned with, because he's been out multiple times this season already. I'd also be concerned that it will take him at least a week or two to get back in the starting 11. They have two lovely fixtures, but then they play City and Arsenal one after the other, I think. So, yeah, you could get him back in 3 weeks' time, but against City, against Arsenal. So, Olise is a good pickup. Jota, nice pickup. I'd have Jota before Olise, but note, it will be probably a two-week wait. Now, if you're prepared to do that, and you're prepared, and you think Jota will get back in over the likes of Luis Diaz, Nunez, and Salah, and hit the form he was, definitely worth a pickup. But he comes with his risks. Next question is regarding defenders, and a lot of these questions I am covering now will reinforce or even give the answer to in the waiver section, and this is one of these. So the question is Moreno. What do I do with Moreno? Who do I swap him for? Which one of these players would you pick? Munoz, Chilwell, Gomez, or Kwanzaa? And that will be answered in more detail in the waiver section. And one of the last questions, I have to get it up because it's a bit more complicated. And the question is, what should I do with Awoni? I play a 4-5-1 with Muniz starting and my other striker is Jesus. Midfield of Madison, Richarlison, Bruno and Bemo Eze. Insane midfield. Defense of Gusto, Gabriel, Trent. Two spots to waiver in and out. So again, the rest of the team is perfectly set up. You have Jesus that's back there. You have Muniz that's probably going to continue starting, even though Raul Jimenez is back. But Awoni. Awoni's injury, and Awoni, I've defended him so much this year because I know what he can do. But he's having this reoccurring injury that he doesn't seem to be getting over. And he didn't feature last week at all. Apparently there's, you know, it's very hard to say. They don't have a time frame. I don't know if I drop Awoni for any of the waivers that I'm going to mention today, but it depends who's on the waiver. If there's a starting striker, but then again, you have Muniz, you have Jesus. You're no mad panic to replace Awoni and going to start him over Muniz and Jesus. although Jesus might be a rotation risk. So I don't know if I'd drop Awoniyi, because even in 2 or 3 weeks, he could be okay. But if there was someone that you would start over Jesus or even Muniz, I would pick them up. But I'm going to presume that it's going to be very hard come by a player that's going to start over Jesus, probably Jesus, but definitely not over Muniz, because Fulham have a fantastic run of fixtures, as we're going to find out. Defence and midfield, just insane. I would love that team. I think that would smash most teams. And boom, that is the question section of the podcast done. If you want something answered, send it in to us on the question box that we put up every week on Instagram or on Twitter. If I didn't read out your question, apologies. I get messages from Twitter replies and inbox and Instagram stories and replies, so sometimes it might get lost in there. So apologies if I didn't read out your question. Hopefully the waiver section can answer that for you. But first, Jack Maloney. Anyone who has been listening for the last 29 game weeks know myself and Jaxie are living out here in Perth, and we moved over here in March, so it's a year literally tomorrow, I think, we moved out. And unfortunately, Jaxie is moving back to Ireland before flying to Canada. So I think a couple of people were chatting to him on Instagram as well. He is moving to Vancouver in like May time. And I'm also moving home. I'm going back to Ireland and I plan to stay there. So myself and Jaxie, I'm heading home literally next week. Myself and Jaxie will overlap, so we'll get a couple of podcasts in before he heads off. But next season, it will more than likely just be me. Jaxie will do kind of behind the scenes stuff, and you'll still see his videos that he does be putting up on Instagram and so on and so forth. So I'm sure I'll get a little word from Jaxie when I get back to Ireland and we meet up to do a podcast, but it is unfortunate. We'll have a little reminiscent time about all the crack we've had on the podcast. So that is Jaxie's whereabouts, and we'll keep you updated. But for now, it's just myself. Let's get on to the waiver section of the podcast, and hopefully, even with just me, we can nail it for the next couple of weeks. Going to start with goalkeepers. I'm going to keep referring back to that, I would call it a spreadsheet that I talked about earlier, where we talked about the doublers. But if we take the doublers out of it, if we take them 34 and 37 doublers out of it, just looking at the run-in, and some people ask me who are the best teams to just target. And if we take out the doublers, as I said, I'm looking at the last, let's say, 9, 10 game weeks, depending on the team. And I'm looking at the amount of hard fixtures they have. I know that there's way more to that. Relegation, promotion, top four, you know, people that are already relegated, so on and so forth, as well as FA Cup, Champions League, so on. So the teams that play the least amount of hard teams at the top are City. I know City are a dodgy team, but they only play Arsenal. Every other team I expect them to beat well and possibly keep a clean sheet, but they only play Arsenal, so they've won the easiest run-ins. Now, the issue with them is that they're in Europe and we see the rotation all the time. But looking at those nailed players, obviously Haaland, even Bernardo, KDB will probably be rotated. Rodri, the likes of Rodri and Ederson, if he's back next week, which he should be, could be invaluable from now until the end of the season. Other teams that don't play a lot of hard fixtures, Newcastle, all I can see is Spurs. I know they haven't been the best this year, but they still have a very easy run-in. Other teams that I rate their run-in is Fulham. They only play Liverpool and City. Now, they don't have a double game week, but still, as I said, if we take them out of it, we might see a kind of different view regarding teams. You know, Fulham could be overlooked because they don't have a double, but, you know, Iwobi could go on a run. And our last few teams, Liverpool, United, Spurs, Villa. Again, I have them down as the hard teams. They could beat all of those and score against all of those. Forest, Spurs, City, United. Three tough fixtures in the last 9 games. So some teams that we could be looking at and refer back to when we talk about the waivers. And yeah, just don't get too bogged down about the doubles. Obviously take advantage, but if you can't, there's still some great options. Arsenal have a very tough run in. They play City, Villa, Chelsea, United and Spurs all in the last run of games. As I said, They have the ability to beat all of those, just like Liverpool do, but they're going to be tighter. City going for a title, Villa, obviously, as well as United and Spurs, going for top four, and then Chelsea, obviously, trying to get in the top half of the table. So none of those games are easy, although you still expect Arsenal to do well. So maybe Arsenal players be kind of ones to, I wouldn't say trade straight away, but yeah, maybe avoid if you have a look at them on a waiver, or even within maybe a double or a triple trade. Just be very wary. They have a very tough run in, as well as still being in the Champions League. So I would kind of avoid Arsenal players. But if we go to our goalkeepers, we actually have a couple of options from now, well, short term, and then I have in every section who would I pick going forward, because I suppose a lot of the players are going to be picked up from the waiver. There's going to be very little trades going on, so now this week and next week are so important in picking the right players for the season. Henderson will probably play next week, as Johnston has an injury. You might get two games out of Henderson. Two nice games, pity they're both away, but they play Forest and then Bournemouth. So that'd be a nice keeper to pick up if you were in need of one, desperate need of one, for a very short term. Now, if you were looking long term, Gerbic, he played in goal for Sheffield the last 3 days in a row. I was very good against Bournemouth, kind of poor for the last goal, but had 9 saves, good in terms of FPL. I think he still only got a 3-pointer or something like that, but yeah, they actually have some decent fixtures. When I talked about the doubles in 34, I said don't touch Sheffield, but in terms of a keeper, it's slightly different. They're going to be facing an awful lot of shots, probably won't keep clean sheets, but you know, you might get 3, 4, 5 points. If you look at the points on keepers, it proves the strategy of picking keepers late. The keepers that are near up the top, you know, Pickford, Neto, Leno, all these keepers that would probably go late, and there's feck all difference between them and Alisson Ederson. Some of them, most of them, have scored more. So that Sheffield keeper until the end of the season could be a nice little pickup. If I was picking players going forward, 4 keepers I'd pick from now to the end of the season. As I said, Ederson up there, very, very easy run in. Hopefully will play all games. We saw that at the end of the last season that he got rotated slightly. Obviously, our boy Leno, Fulham, very good fixtures. They have a lot of save points, or they rack up a lot of save points, Fulham. Pickford, 8 clean sheets this year, only behind Arsenal. And then Petrovic of Chelsea, just because they have them extra fixtures, and some of them are decent fixtures. So we have 2 keepers in Henderson and Gerbic, and we have a couple of suggestions going forward. Onto our defender section, and this might answer them questions that we were referring to back in the question section. So again, there's a couple short terms, but I'd probably be looking at the players that I'm looking at until the end of the season. If we really needed a player for the next week or two, up top I'd have Robinson if he's not already taken. They play Sheffield, Forest, then Newcastle, so you get 2 fixtures, maybe 3. 6 assists this season, stalwart for Fulham. And yeah, I wouldn't be relying totally on clean sheets. As I said, 6 assists, so has that potential to get forward. Dragosin plays Luton. Now, Spurs were poor. He wasn't great the last couple of cameos that he's had. But again, they play Luton at home. They need to bounce back after that disappointing result last week, or last game week. But the problem is Van de Ven. Apparently he's eyeing up a return game week 32, round 32, so it shouldn't be crazy long. You might get a game or two out of Dragosin. And if we really need someone for the short term, Nico Williams, we've mentioned him a couple of times. 5 crosses the last game, very high position. Actually got caught offside twice, so that shows you where he was getting to. And they play Palace and Fulham. Both of them have good options going forward, but are susceptible to conceding goals. They're very short terms. What I'd be looking to is pick up some of these longer term players. I'm going to start at the bottom, and we have loads of players here, but as I said, Everton have a nice run in. Okay, they don't play too many tough teams, and they have 8 clean sheets this season, so they have the potential to be solid. Mikulenko, top, just because he gets forward. Brathwaite, bonus point monster, and then Tarkowski, third. just because both of them actually have aerial threat. That's if you really need a defender for the long term. If you wanted to take the risk on a Man City defender, I think one and two would be Ake and Diaz. My estimation is they'll play like every 3 out of 4 games, which if you look at City's fixtures, you know, you're probably looking at 2 clean sheets. So if you got a clean sheet every second game off a player, you'd be happy, but it's a big risk. And yeah, some of them might be on a waiver in a small team, but or a small league, but I'm sure a lot of the other ones will as well. But yeah, I think if I had Ake on my waiver, I'd be picking him up. Two little gems are Lascelles because of Botman's injury. As I said, Newcastle have a very, very good run of fixtures. And if they start to put some form together in terms of defence, Lascelles, he's done very well when he came in prior to, prior to Botman coming back from his injury. I think he can be a very good pickup. Dalot getting very advanced. Also very good for bonus points. United aren't very good at the back. I'd have Lascelles over Dalot just because of the run-in. Now, if we're looking at teams that I would target from now until the end of the season, in third place, I'd have Wolves, second, Palace, and top, Chelsea. Now, note these are teams that I just think you'll be able to waiver players from. Not, I'd have Ben White top, even though Arsenal have a very poor run-in. I'd have a lot of other players top, but these are players that I think might be on the waiver still. So Wolves, very simple, Aitnori and Semedo. We know why. They play in wing-backs. Aitnori is finally starting to return. They could be used very well as a rotation defenders, either of them, because they have kind of changing fixtures, some good, some bad, in between. Second would be Palace, and top would be Munoz. Palace, again, playing with wing-backs, Munoz looking very dangerous, and they have some good fixtures also. They have Forest and Bournemouth next, followed by 2 tough fixtures, but then they have a nice run. So again, we said it last week, if you had a Everton and Palace defender, I think it was, they rotate very, very well. So all these four teams, or four that I'm looking at, Wolves, Palace, Chelsea, and Everton, if you pick up one or two from each of these, some of them rotate very well. If I had to go down Palace's list, it would be Mitchell and then Anderson. I'd be looking at Munoz. And then top would be Chelsea, just because they have the extra fixture. Some of the players are now starting to look a bit more nailed. They're still not great at the back, but I think you have to take that risk. Chilwell is now starting back in, back from injury. I think I'd put Chilly top. I think this is because I've had a previous affiliation with him, but Chilwell followed by Gusto. Gusto did have a virus, but he is expected to be fit for Burnley. Apparently was, you know, he got over it. So Chilwell just because of set pieces as well. Gusto in play probably slightly better in recent terms or recent times. And De Sassi looks like the most nailed centre back. Caldwell slightly injured. Thiago Silva coming in and out of the team. I think those are the top three for me. So in terms of the waiverable players that have decent fixtures from now to the end of the season, Wolves, Palace, Chelsea. I think top for Wolves would be Aitnori. Munoz would be top for Palace, and Chilwell would be top for Chelsea. I still would probably have Chilly and Gusto before Munoz and Aitnori, but them 3 or 4 players are very, very good. Lascelles might go under the radar if you want to get him in as well. And then the likes of Mikulenko, Tarkowski, Brathwaite even. There is about 12 defenders there, and I definitely think you could pick up 2 and rotate them from now until the end of the season. On our midfielder section of the podcast, we have mainly players going forward. We've, I suppose, 4 short-term picks. Doucouré, McNeil, and Harrison, all Everton players, have 2 good fixtures in the next 3. Bournemouth, Newcastle, and Burnley. The first 2, Bournemouth and Newcastle, are away, Burnley at home. I probably rank it McNeil, Harrison, and then Doucouré, just because of set pieces. There's very little in between them. I think probably put McNeil top just because of set pieces. Harrison has looked very good in recent weeks, but both Harrison and Doucouré have got whipped early. So they'd be short term. IU, again, would probably be better than them because he has 2 fixtures very quickly in succession. IU plays Forest and then Bournemouth. Both, again, unfortunately, are away. but has been a stalwart for Palace this year. Not crazy exciting, low ceiling most of the time, but a nice little pickup if you need a 2-week game week player. Now, I think the best way to look at midfielders, because a lot of them have been taken up, is to look at who would you trade for or the best possible waivers. So long term, if you had to trade for these players, and these are just tradable, Salah's, KDB, all the big boys are taken out of this, Saka, you're going to have to give an arm and a leg. Starting at the bottom, if you could trade for Eze, as I said, Palace has some very good fixtures. I would be looking at Eze. How he didn't return the last day, I don't know. I think he got like a 1.26 XGI. Should have banged. Gordon, number 4. As I said, Newcastle only have that tough Spurs fixtures. The rest are, you know, teams in the bottom half. Gordon, stalwart, and has, I think, 14 out of his 17 assists this season have been at home. So, I actually don't know the distribution of home versus away, but yeah, if you see that there's more home, boom, maybe he's up at number 3 instead of Luis Diaz. Luis Diaz, my only concern is Jota. I just think, again, he's racking up some serious numbers. Liverpool have a decent run in, and I think he'll be preferred. I think he'll be preferred left wing for now to the end of the season. And I just think his time has come, and I just think how he hasn't returned is beyond me. In number 2, and this has to do with double game weeks, it's 3 Spurs boys. Probably number 1 matters, number 2 Richarlison, and number 3 Kulusevski. Again, the Sons probably not going to be able to trade for. Matters might get over the line. Richarlison going to be tough. Kulusevski under the radar, 90 minute man. He might be a bit more attainable. And then Palmer, because he plays 2 extra fixtures over some teams. He's on penalties. He is in insane form. He's going to be vying to get a place in the England team, a starting place. I think if you could get him, you know, he'd be just unbelievable from now until the end of the season. If you have him, fair play. But if we're looking at players that are possibly on waivers, depending on the size of your league, that you could trade for, that would be good picks from now until the end of the season. In number 5, Bruno Guimaraes. I'm just going off them Newcastle fixtures. Bruno Guimaraes actually has some decent returns this year. He's a nice player that will tick along. Not crazy exciting, not a high ceiling. But yeah, I think if you wanted a solid pick from now until the end of the season, and you know, no other player that I've mentioned is on your waiver, Bruno will be a nice pick. In number 4, I have Iwobi. 5 goals, 1 assist this season. Fulham, as I said, great run of fixtures. Don't overlook teams because they don't have double game weeks. Fulham have brilliant fixtures and they are now coming into their own. They're scoring a lot of goals and they're okay defensively at home. You never know, you get that extra 1 point for a midfielder. In number 3 is Gibbs White, another team that have gone under the radar because of double game week fixtures. Forest don't have that bad of fixtures at all, just like Fulham. If we are looking at Forest fixtures, Palace, Fulham, Spurs, Wolves, Everton, City, Sheffield, Chelsea, Burnley. So in there they have the likes of Palace, Fulham, Wolves, Sheffield, Burnley. Not bad at all. If we're looking at Fulham's fixtures, Sheffield, Forest, Newcastle, West Ham, Liverpool, Palace, Brentford, City, Luton. So again, 2 really tough fixtures in there are Liverpool and City. All these teams that I'm mentioning are going to be, they're all going to be playing for something. Maybe Newcastle might be, you know, a bit here and there because they won't be going for Europe or they're going to be safe. But the likes of Fulham, the likes of Forest, they're going to be playing out of their skins. I think, I hope, they're going to be high scoring games. So Gibbs White's going to be number 3. 3 goals, 7 assists this season. Possibly on pens if the likes of Awoni is out. Number 2 is the unassuming Conor Gallagher. 2 goals, 6 assists this season. Absolute stalwart, and Chelsea have them extra fixtures. If we look at them fixtures overall, they play Burnley, United, Sheffield, Everton, Arsenal, Villa, West Ham, Forest, Bournemouth. So again, in there, the likes of Burnley, Sheffield, Forest, Bournemouth. 4 very, very easy fixtures, and not many tough ones. Arsenal are top of the pile, I suppose, followed by United and Villa. Everton, West Ham, they could go either way, but again, both of those games are at home. Actually, now that I'm looking at it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of them next 9 games are at home for Chelsea. Just because I'm looking at it, we look at them Newcastle fixtures. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of 8 are at home. 6 out of 9 are at home. So that's going to be bode very well for Newcastle. Top of the list, and just because he's such a baller, is Mbeumo. And although Brentford aren't the best team this year, they don't, you know, they've average fixtures. United, Brighton, Villa, Sheffield, Luton, Everton, Fulham, Bournemouth. Sorry, they have very good fixtures. Maybe it's just the fact that they're going under the radar. Single game weeks, no double game weeks. Mbeumo is still top for me. I think he starts against United. He is on some set pieces. He can return anyway. Tony's playing. Wiss is back. So I think Mbeumo probably picked up in a lot of waivers. If not, I'd even get a trade for him. If people are trying to get an extra fixture in, boom. Take advantage. Don't get bogged down by all these double game weeks. Okay, so on to our striker section of the podcast. Bottom of the list for forwards for game week 30 is Foster / Mdouni. I'm going to predict that Mdouni gets the start. This is because Fofana can play against Chelsea. Burnley, you know, you're not really going to pick these up for one game week. But if you are desperate, if you really need the player, I'm going to go with Mdouni just because he's played more minutes recently. I know he actually got whipped off after coming on in the last game, but yeah, I just think he prefers Mdouni. Could be wrong, but if you really need one, you can take a chance on Foster either if Mdouni's gone and hope Foster starts. But I'm going to go Mdouni, but you're not going to keep them past game week 30. Moving up, again, an absolute shitebag, McBurnie, plays Fulham. Played 68 minutes the last game, so yeah, he could be in with a start against Fulham. So he's a shitebag, but if you have a starting player against Fulham, you know, you can't really say no if you really need a striker. My question is he going to start over other players? If not, maybe don't put him as high in your waiver. If you really need a striker to start this week, maybe you get him in. Arthur is flagged, so if you're a McBurnie owner, hopefully you don't want Arthur to play a full stop. If we kind of move up the list, Raul Jimenez is back from injury. Came on the last day. I can't really see him taking Muniz's spot. I can't see it at all because Muniz is balling out. He might be on for cameos. You never know. He might get one or two starts by the end of the season. I can't see them playing two up top. So Raul Jimenez just as a playing striker that will get minutes. And then top of the list is a player I do expect to start. It's Fraser of Wolves. Cunha is a possibility. More than likely won't play. Huang and Neto are out. Huang will be another possibly 2 or 3 weeks. And Neto could be out till the end of the season. Bellegarde is also carrying a slight knock. If the likes of Cunha was going to play and Bellegarde and maybe Huang, Fraser wouldn't be the best option. But I still think Fraser will start this week and possibly next week as well. So you might get a 2 week stint out of Fraser. Not the best as always, forward list. But yeah, they're possible waivers. If off the top of my head I was thinking of players going forward, Hoyland's coming back from injury. Jackson's actually hitting a bit of form. Could be worth the trade, you never know. Mateta hitting a bit of form with Palace. Now, one concern I would have is Isaac. Great fixtures, but a quote came out saying that he has been carrying an injury all season and it's been unfortunate that he has to play. So I'd be weary. He's very, very prone to injury, so I wouldn't go trading for Isaac just because of his injury history. But apart from that, I suppose the likes of, as I said, Hoyland, hopefully he comes back and starts banging like he did. Nicholas Jackson could go under the radar, even Semenyo. Apart from that, there's not much more. Just named like 70 players. But hopefully you can pick up some of these players, even use them in combination, as I said, with the defenders, and get the win game week 30 and continue that streak until game week 38. As always, thank you very much for listening. Please, if you're on socials, Instagram or Twitter, go on and share that and be in with a chance of winning a very cool vintage jersey this weekend. Other than that, FPL Draft Duo out. Boom.